Stu Does America.
Subscribe to all sorts of channels on YouTube, but include this one as well. YouTube.com/Stu Does America. Be sure to hit the bell for notifications. Follow the show, comment below, help the algorithm robots promote the show or whatever that does. Get your Stu Does America merch at StuDoesMerch.com. I know what that does. It's just going to be like t-shirts and mugs and stuff. So it'll carry drinks. It'll cover your man boobs up. Use the code STU10 at 10% off your order if you use that code. Glenn Beck is going to be here to detail the left's attempts to sabotage the Trump agenda. Andrew Cuomo is awful.com is officially under investigation by the DOJ. And I think the sun is shining just a bit brighter today, which is actually the cause of global warming. But we're going to start by doing Biden's Bad Book Week, Chapter 3. Yeah, it's the whole week this week. There's so much going on with this, and I do think it's really super duper important. Now, I'm apparently in the minority on this one. Some people don't think there's anything to even talking about this. Why are we bothering? Who cares if the president of the United States wasn't president? He wasn't really signing any bills, wasn't really there mentally. What's the big deal? Why do we need to know about that? Right, Whoopi?
So should anonymous sources who talked to Tapper have spoken up about their concerns while he was in office, while he was still in office? And my other question is, why is this important to know now?
Yeah.
Well, woo! I don't want to know things either. Yeah. Woo!
Yeah. You know, we got a lot of stuff to be concerned about at the moment.
So yeah. Is the studio audience of The View the collection of the dumbest people, or at least the second dumbest people on Earth? They go, I don't want to know the things about the country. I don't. Woo! Don't talk about things. Obviously, the number one dumbest would be the people on the actual panel, as you might have guessed. That's a fascinating take on that. Really, Whoopi? Why would we need to know something like that? Wouldn't it be kind of important to know the things about your country? Who, like, for example, is the person that you elected still running it, or is Dr. Jill now president of the United States? Would that be something important to know? Now, granted, neither of them are president right now, so you could say, well, it is sort of old news, but I really do think this is kind of important to fix. And I will also say, you know, I don't know. She's like, oh, well, why do we need to know about this? Aren't there more important things to talk about? Just so you know, this was the other important thing she wanted to get to. Whoopi Goldberg reveals she hasn't worn a bra in 50 years. I don't mind if they hit the floor. So, you know who does mind? The floor. So the book I do think we've learned a lot from, and this is Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson's book. It's called Original Sin. It's not the only book out. It's the one that's getting the most attention, probably because Jake Tapper is at the head of it. And that's kind of one of the things I want to talk about here, because we had an interesting moment yesterday where Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson went on with Megyn Kelly. And look, Megyn, there's just nobody nearly as good at this type of thing as Megyn Kelly. She's so good at it, and you do not want to be on the wrong side of Megyn Kelly in these moments. She's very, very prepared. She knows exactly where she's going. She is completely fearless, does not care how awkward it is. She says she's apparently at least was before this interview, friends with Jake Tapper at some level. Like, you know, and she even said, I heard her say at one point on the show, that she, you know, she's not going to like go in and, you know, it's not going to be some like slaughterhouse with Jake Tapper. She likes Jake, but she's going to ask him the tough questions. Well, she did that. And she did more than that. And she kept going. I think it was kind of like a slaughterhouse, at least a little bit. And then there was poor Alex Thompson just sitting there in the third square, just kind of like, am I supposed to talk at any point? It went on for about, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes of just raking Jake Tapper over the coals on this. They got to a lot of other stuff as well in the interview. But I want to play you some of the moments here. Jake Tapper admits to Megyn Kelly that he didn't press Biden on health. Obviously, one of the big things, and I've heard this from pretty much everybody I've talked to about this book and these developments, is like, how can Jake Tapper be the person writing this book? And I think that's a fair point to bring up. I do wonder if it's the most important point that's being brought up in this conversation, but it is a really important one. He needed to be asked these questions, and Megyn did a great job doing it. Let me give you some of the highlights of that, talking about whether Jake Tapper was running cover for Biden all those years.
I did ask Joe Biden,
to be transparent about his health records in an interview in 2020. I did ask him about the fact that voters thought that he was not transparent at all. No,
he promised you that he would be transparent about his health records, and then he wasn't. And when you sat with him again, including one month after the Jackie Walorski thing, you didn't ask him about it. You didn't follow up on the fact that he was falling up the stairs, that he was losing his train of thought regularly, that he was slurring, that he was incomprehensible, that he was getting lost on the White House lawn. You sat right across from him and you asked none of that, notwithstanding the fact that he had promised you he would be fully transparent about his health issues.
That's true, but I did ask him about his age.
There is a way of pressing a man like that on the actual infirmities to bring it home to him and to the audience, and you didn't do it.
That's correct. I didn't. And like I said, I feel humility about my coverage.
But you covered the Biden presidency aggressively throughout the 4 years, and you didn't cover mental acuity hardly at all. I mean, time and time again, when issues came up, you seemed to be running cover for the president.
I don't think that's true.
Now, with the current White House, I have some connections. With the Joe Biden White House, I had none. But you did. You did. And so you've been in Washington 30 years, Jake. You guys, you and CNN have White House connections, but there was no effort, none, to get to the bottom of this. And now
that's
for you guys to write this book like there was a cover-up, it's like there was a cover-up and there was an attempted cover-up. It could only ever work if you allowed it.
Now, that's basically what the tone of the entire interview was. I will say mostly, for the most part, Jake Tapper pretty much owned up to not doing a great job with his coverage throughout the interview. She brought up a bunch of very specific examples of him, doing this. And as I've noted, I don't think Jake Tapper was the worst offender by any means when it comes to ignoring this topic. I don't think, and more than that, because I don't think he talked about it enough, as he sort of admitted. I don't think he was one of the people who was necessarily a lead actor in running cover like a Joe Scarborough was, right? Like, it was not to that level. That being said, he should have done a better job. He did admit that. He basically did say Megan that, I should have been better. I should have been asking more questions. I should have followed up about X, Y, and Z. He had one interview with him. He did not bring it up. So that was, he pretty much said he owned it, including the main clip. And I will say, like, you look at the montages that are going around about Jake Tapper, there's like three or four clips that are in every single montage. Most of them are really short. They're not particularly egregious. The one that is egregious is his interview with Lara Trump. Now, that happened back in 2020. So it wasn't one of the later clips, but it was pretty bad. I mean, even in 2020. Look, we can all be honest about this. Can't we be honest about it now? And this is, by the way, admitted in the book that his cognitive failings began in 2015, according to Jake Tapper's book. So this is an interview he wrote in 2020, or an interview he had with 2020 with Laura Trump. And it's the one you've seen where she is basically saying, like, I think this is a cognitive decline. And Jake Tapper is not only dismissing her, but is really sarcastic about it, borderline mean about it, saying, like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're hurting kids that are stutterers and stuff like this. It was a pretty bad clip. Here is his answer for it.
Do you want to apologize to Lara Trump now?
I've already apologized to her. I called her months ago.
And what did she say?
I mean, I don't want to disclose the contents of a private conversation, but I thought the conversation went well. And she has said this publicly, so I feel fine sharing it. She said that she would never mock anybody's stutter. But I mean, after we did the research for this book and I realized how bad his acuity issues were, I called Lara Trump and I said, you were right.
She was totally right.
But as I said, her comments have aged well. My comments have aged poorly. I own them.
So, I mean, again, I don't know what else he's supposed to do, honestly. Not only is he apologizing for that, I think appropriately, apologizing to her directly, which I think is a nice step to take. I don't think most people would probably do that. At least in the media, most of them would be like Joe Scarborough. They'd run away from it and act like they never did it. And then I think, too, the other thing he did is write this book, which I do think is important. I mean, he wrote it with Alex Thompson, who, by the way, all of those clips is just sitting there not saying anything. He did eventually talk. He can talk. He did, a good job in the interview as well later on. Okay, let me talk. It wasn't just Megyn Kelly. They're doing the whole book tour thing. This is an interview he did with Katie Couric and revealed an interesting little tidbit. I mean, you want to say sometimes you think, you know, some bad decisions can be made. And putting people in charge of your decisions that don't make good decisions can really kind of top the list of the wrong direction to go when you're talking about proper decision making. Apparently, that was what the Biden group was doing this entire time. Here is Jake Tapper with Katie Couric.
How big a factor was the Hunter stuff?
I think it was considerable. I think Hunter was driving the decision making for the family in a way that people, he was almost like a chief of staff of the family.
Does that strike you as pretty bizarre?
It's bizarre because I think he is provably, demonstrably unethical, sleazy, and prone to horrible decisions.
I mean, tell me how you really feel.
Well, I mean, I just look at the record. I mean, after his brother died, he cheated on his wife with his brother's widow and then got her addicted to crack. That's just one thing I could say. I mean, I don't have a lot of personal regard for him. And just based on having nothing to do with, I barely have ever met him. I've met him like once or twice. But I knew Bo. Bo was a great, upstanding guy.
I knew him too, really.
A real loss for the country too, not just for his family, for the country. But Hunter is not that. And the idea of letting him drive the family car, as it were, is just really, really questionable.
Now, you note there that Alex Thompson was also in that clip and also not talking. I will say this about the whole book situation. People keep bringing up the point, understandably so, as we discuss, that Jake Tapper should not be the person writing this book. But here's the thing. And Jake Tapper is a big CNN celebrity. And the reason why this book is getting a lot of attention is beyond what is being reported in is because it is Jake Tapper. And I fear if Alex Thompson wrote this book by himself, which he could have, he was doing this actual reporting at the time, it would not get the attention that this book is getting. I think that's wrong. I would be talking about Alex Thompson's solo book. I would have Alex Thompson on about that book. But like, I do think that part of the reason this is getting this much attention is that it is Jake Tapper. So it's a tough thing. Now, you sense the disdain, the utter hatred that Jake Tapper seems to have for Hunter Biden. Now, it's easy to have that because he's legitimately one of the worst people in America. I mean, there's just not really that much question about her. You know, again, your brother dies of cancer. You cheat on your current wife with his widow and then get her addicted to crack. Suboptimal is how I would say suboptimal. Then you go on to once again sleep with a stripper, abandon the family, act like you didn't even have the kid. And those are just, you know, minor infractions, frankly, on his record. But there's a history here, which is interesting. Jake Tapper was talking about this. He says, I was furious. Hunter Biden fires back at Jake Tapper, alleges year-long feud. This goes back to 2015. This is fascinating. The CNN anchor has denied allegations that he reached out to Hunter for a scoop about his brother, Bo, as he lay dying in 2015. An exclusive on the record commitment to Breaker on Wednesday, Hunter flatly contradicted him. It would be impossible to forget or misremember something that is as upsetting and out of line during one of the toughest moments of my life. It happened. I was furious, Hunter Biden told the outlet. Now, of course, it would be impossible for most people to screw up an incident like that. But when you do add thousands of pounds of crack to the equation, it'd be a little easier to misremember something. Just throwing that out there. Tapper repeatedly called Hunter during Bo's final days at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, according to multiple sources close to the Biden family. When those went unanswered, he allegedly used a blocked number to connect. Hunter's message, as recalled by those present, was blunt: go F yourself, Jake. Now, apparently there's an earlier confrontation about all of this. The two reportedly came face-to-face at the 2018 Super Bowl. And I think when they're saying that, I think they're talking about the Eagles' first victory, which would be a wonderful, nothing could ruin that day. Tapper extended a hand. Hunter warned he'd knock him out if not for the public setting. Breaker reported that Tapper demanded an apology from Joe Biden of his son's behavior. Tapper disputes this account, telling Breaker that he suggested the confrontation was about his unrelated CNN reporting on Hunter's past. Hunter did once confront me at a Super Bowl party, but it was over an unrelated issue. Coverage he wrongly believed I had done regarding divorce allegations of drug use and using prostitutes, which actually I had never done. Breaker confirmed that Tapper did, in fact, cover Hunter's alleged drug use, which, of course, he should be covering. It was a massive news story. Okay, there's more in the book as it's coming out. The event at a high school gym, and this is an event for Biden in home state of Delaware, was supposed to be the basis for a campaign commercial. The idea was to create scenes of Biden taking off-the-cuff questions from voters that could be used in ads. The campaign had a full list of the questions the voters would ask, and cameras rolled for 90 minutes with Biden on stage. Some blamed the gym's lighting for the event being a dud, while others firmly pointed the finger at Biden's performance. They wound up doing a 90-minute stage town hall with prepared questions and couldn't get enough out of it for a 60-second commercial. Absolutely fascinating. And there's nuggets like this throughout the book. One of the really interesting things that I don't remember if we talked about this yesterday. Sorry, doing a lot of shows. But it's an important nugget. If you already heard it, I apologize. But back when Beau Biden had cancer, got a cancer diagnosis, they took off a golf ball sized lesion slash tumor, and he was in really serious trouble. The Biden family went through a lengthy conspiratorial cover-up to hide that diagnosis from the public. They downplayed it. At one point, Beau told the press that he had gotten a full, clean bill of health. And remember, like, you know, family drama, you're saying, okay, well, so what? They don't want to have their family stuff out there. Remember, at this time, both, not only Joe Biden, who is currently the vice president of the United States at that time, but also Beau Biden, who was the attorney general for the state of Delaware. Both of them were elected officials, and they were lying to the press and to the public about what was going on, to the extent that Joe Biden was saying he would go home to Delaware for the weekend, and he would go home to Delaware, and then he would fly out of Delaware to Houston to go visit his son while he was having treatment for this cancer. Now, look, you know, there's, of course, parts of everybody that would say, okay, well, he should go to Houston to see his son and go through the treatment. That's a good thing for a father to do. And I think that's true, but you don't need to lie about it. And what's fascinating about that is this was all written long before what just happened with Joe Biden's cancer diagnosis, the questions being whether this was known at the time. The family has already engaged in a cover-up about a cancer diagnosis. And that's in the book. The whole thing's detailed, all the things that they did. It's fascinating. We also have one other nugget I wanted to give you here before we get out of here for this segment. We have Glenn Beck coming up here in a second. Another one, this is from The Hill. They were at the point of, like, you know, they were at an apocalypse at this point on the Biden campaign, talking about a post-debate discussion. You know, this was the lowest of the low. What are we doing here? The advisor thought as the president spoke. This guy can't form an effing sentence. This is according to CNN, quoting a passage from the book. If I had a conversation like this with someone who wasn't president, I would be worried about his health. And here he is, the sitting president of the United States, according to CNN through the book. So that's just a bunch of it. You know, some people have been critical about them from CNN promoting this book so much. Jon Stewart, I think, did something on this. I get it. I understand that. You know, it is a bit of self-interest. Of course, they want the book to sell a lot, and I think it is going to sell a lot of copies. That being said, the fact that CNN is actually talking about this stuff on air is really good. I mean, I think this is positive that people know, because it's not just about Joe Biden. It's not even just about the part that I'm most concerned with, which is, hey, you know, into the future, we got to make sure this doesn't happen. I mean, this is happening over and over again with presidents who are getting to the state and it just being covered up. So that's all part of it. Another part of it, though, is holding account all the people who told you the opposite. Now, Jake Tapper, we mentioned him. He's on that list. I don't think he's at the top of it, but he's on that list somewhere. But more importantly, if you're a Democratic voter, think of all the people. John Ossoff is one of these people who did this, who came out and said, this guy's the top of his game. He's running, you know, sharp as attack. Corinne Jean-Pierre, all the people that you might be voting for in the future. Chuck Schumer is another one. Those people should be held accountable for what they did in this time. They were lying to you about what was going on. They knew one thing was true. They sent you out into the wilderness to defend Joe Biden and his mental acuity. And a lot of these people knew that this was a lot worse than they were saying publicly. They were lying to the American people. They were lying to their own voters. And if you think about this, like, can you trust them on what they're saying about the big, beautiful bill? Can you trust them about what they're saying about, you know, gun rights? Can you trust them about any of this stuff? If you can't trust them about something as basic as saying, like, yeah, the thing that you're seeing on TV every day, that's not really true. Don't trust your lying eyes. If you can't trust them there, can you trust them anywhere? I would say no. All right, Glenn Beck coming up next. You know, it's impressive getting in shape without complicated medical interventions. Yeah, it's not always easy to do, but Memorial Day is almost here. We have Brickhouse Nutritionists on board with us. They're celebrating a rare sale. Their Field of Greens supplement has customers raving about improved health markers. It's almost impressive, as impressive as someone finding, I don't know, enjoyment in waking up in the morning. I don't know. Honestly, going on a diet, because no one wants to do that. The real star right now is Lean, their supplement that is targeting similar weight management goals as a lot of these big treatments that are out there, but without the prescriptions, without the needles. The reviews are amazing. The customers reporting a lot of help. They're saying that, you know, the late night appetites, those cravings are gone. Unlike the search for the perfect parking spot, this solution actually delivers results. Everything at Brickhouse Nutrition is 25% off right now for a limited time when you use the code Memorial25. So it's a Memorial Day special. Take advantage of it. BrickhouseNutrition.com, BrickhouseNutrition.com. Use the code Memorial25 at checkout. Save now. It's BrickhouseNutrition.com. The code is Memorial25. I am joined now by Glenn Beck. He has a brand new special coming up tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. It's Warning, the Sinister Plan to Hijack Trump's Deportations. Don't miss that. It's coming up tonight. Glenn, how's it going?
Well, good. You know, we don't get a chance to use the word sinister very often unless it's in like a cartoon. So we thought we would use that in the title.
And you also worked a capital warning into the title today. So in case people weren't
warned. Yeah, well, it's got to be. I mean, warning labels don't, you know. Mm-hmm. Warning labels just don't have it in fine print. Right. Warning, and then Surgeon General. Blah, yeah, blah, blah.
Exactly, that's true. No one reads that second part. Mm-hmm. You just know it's warned.
Ow!
Is this going to cover? You going to go after the court battle to stop these deportations? What's the focus?
No, the focus really is what I think is their next real move, and that is we're seeing. I think it was Swalwell that said this week, this is only the beginning and we have to do what we've done before, but take it to the next level. Well, he was talking about in response to, you know, abusing ICE agents and forcing your way into a facility in a completely unrational way. And we have already seen them ratchet up the language and the pieces of violence. I'll show you tonight, but we're showing you the things that they're doing right now in just little pieces, and they may seem disconnected, but I don't believe they are. I think they're all connected to a larger plan, which is hit the streets. I don't know when, but it might be this summer. Hit the streets soon.
I just hope Swalwell's not looking to take having sex with Chinese spies to the next level, because
he's already done that at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he already did that. It's hard to be at a higher level of betrayal than he's already hit.
But. Yeah, he's the expert. Let me move on to the Biden stuff that's been going on this week. We played some of the Megyn Kelly audio earlier, and I think she did a great job going after him, holding him accountable. I think his answers were pretty much fine. But I do worry that, like, this is turning into a Jake Tapper story, and there's so much else going on here, including the fact that we didn't, like, have a president for multiple years as a country. I feel like that should be more of our focus.
Yeah, but, I mean, Whoopi will tell you, what difference does that make? You know, I outlined this in, I think, in hour three, a pretty intense monologue in hour three in the podcast today. It matters a great deal. Matters. And stunning your country that you don't even know today who they are, let alone at the time, but you don't know who they are even today. That's a problem. That's not a democracy. That's not a republic. I don't know what that is other than possible treason, but definitely illegal. We have to know who those people are so we stop it. And, you know, the Jake Tapper thing, I'm just amazed that, you know, if you and I had strong feelings, inklings that Donald Trump was not all there, and we saw it. We saw it firsthand, but then the White House was blocking us from any information. We couldn't get any information. And Donald Trump's team, their response was to absolutely flamethrow, destroy anyone who said, hey, that doesn't look right. Is he okay? If we ignored that, or we're talking about it amongst ourselves, but we never said it and we never pursued it. And then we came out with a book and wrote about it later and go, gee, you know what? It looks like they were right. Do you think we'd get the same reception Jake Tapper is getting?
No, I mean, maybe the same reception for Megyn Kelly, that he got, but yes, not as far as the overall media landscape. I think you're right. Yeah. It's been interesting to watch it happen. I mean, I'll give you a real concrete example of this, Glenn, that both of us are on record on, which was Mitch McConnell should have stepped down after his multiple freezes in front of America. Like, that shouldn't have continued. He shouldn't still be in the Senate. He shouldn't have been in leadership for any longer than he was. That should have been over at the moment where that happened. And Barbara Boxer. Yep. I don't know. It feels like most people, at least at some level, are able to recognize this very human thing that happens to people as they age. And it's not something no one's cheering it on. No one likes that it happens. But when it happens, it's time to get out. And it doesn't seem like the media was interested in that because the most basic way to say it is Trump derangement syndrome, right? Like, it really, that is to the level of reality here. They wanted Trump out so badly, they just wouldn't look at this.
Yeah. Ends justify the means. And Edith Wilson is not known for what she actually did. We should have taken care of it with Edith Wilson and made an example out of her. If we would have made an example out of her, maybe it wouldn't have happened later with other presidents. And if we don't take care of it this time, the next president, it'll be worse. If they can get away with anything and literally take the power away from the president, that was a coup that we saw. And while he's in office, just auto pen things that he said on interviews. I didn't sign that. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't do that. Yes, you did, Mr. President, today. Well, was that because he's so incompetent, or is that because he didn't do it? There was some other shadow team that was just signing executive orders. If we don't stop that, it's only going to get worse. And at some point, you just do have Mussolini. That's it. Mm.
You brought up Edith Wilson, the hot, hot wife of Woodrow Wilson, who kind of ran the country there for a while Woodrow was out
about
on
a year.
Stroke leave. What's fascinating about that, you've talked many times about his favorite book, which was this book about experts running the country and the president not really being a president. It was more like this administrative state. And I mean, in a way, Edith and Woodrow got exactly what they wanted in the Biden administration. That is seemingly what was happening, at least for a couple of years.
It's exactly what happens. That's why they didn't need the president. They have all of the experts they need to get things done. The president was just a figurehead, somebody that the people could put their faith in. But he had nothing to do with any of that stuff. The experts were handling it. So it didn't matter what shape he was in. As long as the American people didn't find out that he was completely incompetent, they're fine. That you want to talk about a danger to democracy. That's it. And that's what was happening.
Amazing. And what do we do to stop this? Is there actually a path for some sort of accountability here, or is that just a complete pipe dream?
Let's see what happens. If you start to see some arrests, I think we're close to arrests with COVID. And some people that were actually covering up. And that has a lot of money and power behind not arresting people on that. So if I start to see that in, you know, let's say the next couple of weeks, I'll be a little more optimistic. But this is going to take Congress actually caring and the people in the country actually knowing how to make the argument to people like Whoopi, this matters. This matters. This was happening with Trump. You would have gone ape. This is not about Donald Trump. It is not about winning, losing. This is about what does it mean to be president? Do we vest that power in one man that we all voted for, or do we invest it? Do we invest it in a team of people that are not accountable to you? You don't know who they are. You don't know what they stand for. Which is it? It can only be one.
We talked about this a little bit on radio. About 20% of the presidents since Woodrow Wilson have had this type of thing where it seems like at some point they had lost it or they died in office. This is a serious problem our country is facing. We need to figure out a way to actually stop it going forward.
We don't. We don't need to figure it out. You know, Edith Wilson did not have the help of everybody in the White House. Okay, the people in the White House, she kept them in the dark as well, said, no, he just needs his rest. The guy couldn't move, talk, you know, sign anything. She would just bring in the documents. She would lead the cabinet meetings. And then she'd say, I got to go talk to Woodrow. She would make copious notes. And then she would say, OK, I got to go talk to Woodrow. Then she would just write stuff that he said. And she would go back down and she'd say, OK, he wants this, this, this and this. And then they would put it into action and he would sign, not an auto pin. She would just take his hand, put it over hers as she would sign for him. That was her little thing, you know, in her head. But the way to solve this is to punish those in the White House that knew or participated in it. It will only be solved when people are like, I can't be involved in that. I don't want to be involved in that. Back then, the Democrats, and I would say this equally on both parties. Back then, the Democrats had respect and revere for the presidency. And they knew you can't get away with that. You can't do that. That destroys our republic and democracy. And so they were not helpful in that. And it was his own party that got him to leave office and ended that nightmare, but they didn't expose it. If they would have exposed it to the American people, we may not have had these other problems, you know, later on. It has to be stopped. Exposing and punishment, only way.
I will say, Glenn, it seems like your description of Edith Wilson's job there, putting Woodrow Wilson's hand as she was signing, kind of makes Woodrow Wilson more active in the presidency than Joe Biden was, because he had the auto pin.
Oh, yeah.
So I think.
Oh, he had the auto pin.
Yeah. I think actually.
And did you hear who was in charge? Did you hear who they put in charge? Who was in charge of the family? Hunter.
In the decision making process. Not known for his good decisions.
In their right mind would do that.
Shocking. And there's still more to come on all of this. There's still more books to come out, Glenn. Glenn Beck, his new special is coming up 9 p.m. Eastern tonight. It's Warning, the Sinister Plan to Hijack Trump's Deportations. Don't miss it. Of course, the best way to watch is with your own Blaze TV account. StuDoesAmerica.com is the place to go to get that. Use the code Stu. You get $20 off your annual subscription. Glenn, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Behind every property transaction lurks a complex web of financing options, inspection contingencies, and market conditions that most media outlets never discuss. The difference between informed and uninformed in those decisions often amounts to tens of thousands of dollars. Market data frequently contradicts itself. What worked yesterday doesn't work today. There's national trends that don't really apply to local neighborhoods. This is information that is kind of just chaos, honestly. It creates perfect conditions for costly mistakes. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com cuts through the confusion with professionals who have proven track records, not theoretical experts from cable TV real estate shows, but agents who actually consistently outperform in your specific market. This is a network of professionals who understand both broad market forces and hyper-local conditions that actually determine the outcomes in these transactions. Agents who know the neighborhoods, they are truly understanding everything about renovations and, you know, which ones deliver returns, which ones don't, how the markets work, how your neighborhood works, what about the school zones and all that. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. The name says it all. It's a free service to you. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. It's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. So the Senate has unanimously approved a bill to eliminate tax on tips. No tax on tips, of course, a big Trump proposal that happened apparently when he was at one of his own restaurants and someone said, oh, I have to pay taxes on these tips. And he said, I don't, you shouldn't have to pay taxes on tips. And then the next day he announced no taxes on tips. And the day after that, it was like Kamala Harris was like, yeah, that's what I've been saying. No taxes on tips. And it became this bipartisan thing. Policy formation these days is very interesting. I like lower taxes, so I think that's good. It's not exactly, by the way, no taxes on tips. It is a deduction for people of their tip income up to $25,000. So, you know, there's a lot of people saying, well, I'm just going to take my $1 million salary in tips. You can't do that. It's only $25,000. But I think it will help servers and strippers or whoever else gets tipped. So that's a good Caddyshack. The people from Caddyshack, they'll be happy about this. No taxes on tips, no taxes on anything. I'm a fan of lowering taxes. We should look around to all of our options to lower taxes right now. I'm just going to say that would be a good option. The DOJ is investigating Andrew Cuomo, isawful.com, over testimony to Congress. He did a lot of things that were lies. He also arguably killed a bunch of people in New York. He was importing COVID-19 positive patients into nursing homes for the most vulnerable people. Many of them had to share rooms. By the way, he was told in great detail by the nursing homes themselves, who said, please don't do this. These people are going to die. And then they all started dying. So that's the worst thing of many, many bad things that Andrew Cuomo has done. Of course, allegedly groping a bunch of people around the office. It was another one. This one is basically going in and talking to Congress and lying to them. Is there a perjury situation going on here? They're going to kind of try to sort through that over the next few months. And I hope he, of course, does get in serious trouble for all the things that he's done. I doubt that will happen. And that's partially because of he's probably going to be mayor of New York City. The Cuomo paradox from Politico, unpopular yet still leading the New York City mayoral race. People don't like Andrew Cuomo. They don't like him in New York. They don't like him in New York City. Yet he's blowing everybody out in New York City. How is that possible? Part of it is just honestly name recognition. This happens a lot. This is why a lot of people run for president, by the way. You get known well enough to run for president, you can win other offices. That was not the intent of, let's say, Vivek Ramaswamy, who ran for president, got very well known, became very connected, and then is now running for governor of Ohio. His main competition just dropped out, and he's leading by a significant amount. He likely will become the governor of Ohio. That wouldn't have happened without that presidential run. It would have been like, oh, who's this guy? How can he just jump in and become governor of Ohio? That's crazy. Well, I mean, in the interim, he ran for president. And now he can be governor of Ohio, apparently. I think he'll do a good job there, by the way. But it is fascinating to see. And that's what's going on at some level with Andrew Cuomo. They know who he is. And enough people are just going to vote for him because he is a Democrat. And some people remember him fondly. Most people, for example, who don't like old people being alive are real fans of Andrew Cuomo. There's a big contingency in New York City for that, apparently. So that's kind of what we think will happen. I mean this sincerely, stunned if he does not win the nomination for the Democratic Party in New York for mayor. And also, I will say, that's the whole election. Republicans never have a chance to win there. So he's going to be probably mayor of New York, which is shocking considering how bad he was as a governor and all the awful things that he did. But again, if you don't like old people, maybe I understand the vote. This Memorial Day, which is right around the corner, a story about grit, redemption, and good old-fashioned family values hits the big screen. And you're not going to want to miss this one. It's from Angel Studios, the team behind King of Kings, Homestead, and Sound of Freedom. It's The Last Rodeo, action-packed story of a retired rodeo legend who straps back in for one last ride, risking it all to save his grandson. This is a movie about healing. It's about facing the past. It's about proving that real courage means fighting for the people that you love. We had Neil McDonough in the studio. He's the star of this movie. Just the other day, great guy. And, you know, the trailer looks amazing. I can't wait to see this. It's selling out all over the country. Hurry up. Order your tickets now. It's angel.com/stew. Angel.com/stew. Grab your seats for The Last Rodeo. It's in theaters on Friday, May 23rd. The Last Rodeo. Get your tickets now. Angel.com/stew. Okay, so here's what happened. Anthony Emmanuel Labrador Sierra, a 16-year-old high school student, well, wanted to be a high school student. He contacted the Perrysburg School in November 2023, and he wanted to enroll as a student in high school. 16 years old, he had been homeless and was an immigrant from Venezuela. He was a victim of human trafficking, and so the school does what you know they do to try to help this kid. They meet with him. They actually contact Kathy and Brad Melford. And they had hosted exchange students in the past, and they had adoptive children. So this is a good fit. He was able to actually move in with the Melfords and began residing with them in March of last year. It was interesting because they actually got permanent guardianship of this kid. So they really cared about him and were really trying to take him in and do the best they could for him. They got him a driver's license in Ohio. They got him a social security number. And they went through the whole process, which is, you know, it's kind of a nice story. One minor issue, though, after all while living with this kid and getting him all this stuff, they got contacted by a woman named Evelyn Camacho, who said, hey, you know, the high school student you took in, got him the driver's license, been living with you, got him into school. Remember that kid? Yeah, he's actually a 24-year-old dude. He's not 16 at all, despite the frosted tips. Not 16 at all. She sent a picture of a driver's license of this guy who's 24, which showed his birth date as March 27th, 2001, as well as a Facebook picture of the kid slash 24-year-old with his small child. So, yeah, this kind of went the wrong direction pretty quickly. But, like, it actually, like, worked for this guy. He was not only a went to the school, he was also a member of the junior varsity high school soccer and swim teams. So there you go. Congratulations. Unfortunately, it didn't all work out. By the way, this has happened before. It also happened with Drew Barrymore in the movie Never Been Kissed, the documentary Never Been Kissed. So make sure if you wanted to hear that story, but you wanted to see it with Drew Barrymore in place of the Venezuelan immigrant, just watch that movie. It's basically a documentary. All right. Also, let me tell you another one that is telling you some real things, not ridiculous Drew Barrymore movies. It's a world where spiritual warfare is often overlooked and dismissed. And what about taking that battle seriously? Rick Burgess's brand new series, Strange Encounters, streaming now on Blaze TV and YouTube. It's not about ghosts, not about Bigfoot. It's about real spiritual battles that we face every day in 2025. Rick dives into unseen world events through a biblical lens. He equips viewers with truth and courage for the fight. It's powerful, it's timely, and it's something every believer needs to see. Strange Encounters, Blaze TV. Go to StuDoesAmerica.com. Use the code STU.